Praise God, and indeed it's another good morning that God has given us to listen to His Word, and we praise you, Him, and look forward to a time in His presence. Now today, by the grace of God, we will look at the encounter of Jesus revealing Himself to His disciples, and we know that someone asked the question, why didn't Jesus not reveal Himself to the entire world? You know, I mean, He should have gone to Pilate and greeted him. He should have gone to, you know, the Roman soldiers and done that. But you see, the concern of Jesus was He revealed Himself to those He had chosen, to His apostles. And we can clearly see that Jesus was not concerned with those who He had not called, those who He had not chosen. But He revealed Himself to those who were His disciples, those He had taught, and those who He had entrusted with the responsibility of spreading the gospel to the world. Can you imagine that all the disciples, except from Judas, they all stayed faithful, they all preached the word, they were all persecuted for their faith, and they all died for their faith. That means they had a conviction that was beyond this life. They had a conviction that was beyond their own level of understanding. But they were convicted that this Jesus that was crucified is the Son of God and He is alive. But you see, they did not just start there. It took a process. And what we are going to see today is how the disciples went from unbelief to belief, and you will see that it was not so easy for them to believe, even though they were seeing the risen Jesus. Now that tells you that it is even harder for us who have not seen Jesus, who have not walked with Jesus in our time, to believe. And that is why Jesus eventually says, blessed are those who believe without seeing, because the disciples only believed because they saw. Now we're going to look at the Gospels that speak about it. First, we'll just look quickly at Mark, which is Mark 16, verse 14, that has just one verse that speaks of the unbelief of the disciples. And it says, later, He appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and He rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen Him after He had risen. So you can see in Mark, the Bible is very clear that the Lord appears to them and He is not happy. He rebukes their unbelief and their hardness of heart. Why? Because they had not believed those who had told them that the Lord had risen. So we are going to look at the other two Gospels that give us insight into it, and that's Luke 24, and also we're going to also look at John 20. So once we look at Luke 24, from verse 36, we're going to read up to 49. The Bible says, now as they said these things, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace to you. But they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit or a ghost. And He said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. When He had said this, He showed them His hands and His feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, He said to them, have you any food here? So they gave Him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and He took it and ate it in their presence. Then He said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And He opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then He said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Now, what are the things that stand out here? One, you can see it's the evening, and maybe John is the one that clarifies that it's the same evening of his resurrection, that Jesus appears in their midst. That means like they were in one place, they were locked up in rooms. Remember, they were in fear of the Jews, and Jesus passes through walls and he appears in their midst. And of course, one of the things that the characteristics that you will see that anyone who has an encounter with either an angel or with Christ is that fear comes in. And the first thing that the angels will always say is, fear not, or peace. Peace be to you. Shalom, you know. And so in this case, they receive the greetings of Jesus. But in their mind, they're like, no way, this must be a ghost. Or this must be a spirit. And Jesus is concerned with them. And he's like, why are you troubled? And why do you allow doubts to rise in your hearts? And he tells them, look here. A spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. And this is very interesting about the resurrected Christ. We can see that when he was resurrected, he had the physical body, in that his body was still flesh. We can see that he has flesh, he has bones. They could hold his hands, they could put their fingers where he was imprinted, you know, where the nails had gone through his hands and his feet. And he tells them, handle me. Now, the Bible says they still did not believe for joy. Now you can imagine how it is, and that the 11, they're with Christ, and he tells them, handle me and see. And yes, they're thinking, no, it's a ghost. And then they hold his hands and they hold his feet, and then they still do not believe for joy. And then he even has to ask them, give me some food. Do you have any food? And what does he ask for? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb. Now, that is to tell you that in his resurrected state, he could eat, he could touch, and that means he was, and he is still today, legal on the earth. Remember, for you to be legal on the earth, you need a body. And that is why the Spirit of Christ had to come into the body of Jesus for God to be able to come on the earth. He had to come. And that's why Jesus said, a body you prepared for me. And he's here to do the will of the Father. That means you can see that the resurrected Lord had this body, but this body is a resurrected body. Remember, he is a first fruit of a kind. He is a son of God. He is a firstborn from the dead. In fact, the Bible calls us the church of the firstborn. That means Jesus becomes the firstborn, and he is not ashamed to call us brothers. Why? Because as he is resurrected, we died with him, and we are buried with him, and we are resurrected with him, and we are conformed to the same image as he is. That means each and every day we are being changed and we are being transformed into the very image of Christ. And this is what God had predestined us, that we had been predestined to be conformed to the image of the Christ. Now, is Christ the same today? I think that remains a mystery. Why? Because I will say that in his resurrected state, at that point, before he ascended, he had the physical body that could be touched, could be felt, could be handled. But you see, when we look at Revelation and when we see the vision that John, the revelator, John, the disciple that Jesus loved in Revelation chapter 1 of the Son of Man, he sees him in his glory in the heavens, where he sees this, the Son of God, Jesus himself, having hair as white as wool, having the eyes with the blazing torch, the blazing fire, having this white garment and this sash, golden sash. And he says, I am the Alpha and Omega. I am the one who died and is alive again. You know, he is the resurrection and the life. And so we see the glory of the risen Christ, the glorified Christ. And maybe that is why he tells the Father when he's praying that, Father, return me to the glory, restore me to the glory that I had with you before the foundation of the earth were laid, before I came into this world. That means there is a glory that he had. But you see, in his resurrected state, he had to go to heaven as a man. He had to take his blood. Remember, he takes his blood, and remember, he tells Mary Magdalene that, go and tell my brothers that I am going to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God. Do not touch me for now, because I have not yet ascended. So we believe, and from the scriptures, we can see that he ascended immediately, and he did not allow Mary Magdalene to touch him because he was still taking the blood to the inner sanctuary, to the Holy of Holies, to the one that is not made by human hands, but to that temple that is in heaven. And he takes that. But then now when he has already taken that and he comes back, then he still has his resurrected body, and they are able to touch him, they are able to feel him. And I think that he is still to this day, he's still able to not only come in that form that we can touch and feel him, but as well also we are also able to see him in his glory. So the mystery remains, how is he today? It's that remains for Christ to reveal himself to us. But as we said, he has ensured that the scriptures are enough for him to be revealed. He is revealed in the breaking of bread. When the scriptures are opened, then Christ is revealed. And this is what is available for all of us. And you see what he teaches his disciples. He shows them that the entire scripture, starting with the law of Moses, which are the five books of the Bible, then the prophets, which are the books, that's the writings, and then he tells them also the Psalms, which are the, you know, the kerygma, which refers to thus all those, you know, this literature writing, this wisdom literature, all those, they were written concerning the Christ, and he opens their understanding. And this is very important that you see, there is an understanding that Christ has to open in each and every one of us if we are to know him. It is the risen Lord is not just known until Christ reveals himself, until God reveals. And that's why even remember how he tells Peter. He tells, when he asked him, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said that, Peter, this was not, Simon, this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father. And on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, that whatsoever you bind on the earth is bound in heaven, and whatsoever you lose on the earth is loosed in heaven. Now that is to tell you that when Christ is revealed, when we have that revelation that Jesus is the Son of God, then it is that revelation that births us into the church, that gives us an understanding of who God is and also who we are in God. Because remember, Christ is the Son of the living God, and we are in Christ. Remember, he that is joined with the Spirit of the Lord is one flesh with him, or is one spirit with him. We are united with Christ. We are united in his death. We are united in his burial. We are united in his resurrection. And we are also united with him in his eternal glory, where he reigns. And that is why he has made us kings and priests unto our God. Now he tells them that all these things were necessary, that the Christ had to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And remember, this is what we keep saying. Countless times, over 10 times, you will see Jesus mentions that the Christ ought to suffer and he will rise on the third day. I know there are those who will argue based on Matthew that, oh, he needs to have stayed in the grave based on the sign of Jonah, 3 days and three nights. But if you follow the scriptures, you will still see that he died on Friday and he was raised on the third day. Remember, Jews count their days from evening to morning. So on that Friday was the first day. On Saturday was the second day. And on Sunday, by morning, evening to morning, it was already the third day. So the third day speaks to what Christ says. And I think the argument for Jonah is basically the sign. No other sign will be given to them except the sign of Jonah. Now, when we see that it says that, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name, that means people can change their mind, they can turn to God, and they can know that they are forgiven of their sins. That means they can have a clear conscience before God. And it should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem and to the ends of the world. And he tells them, and you are witnesses of these things. And I think this is a very important theme. And even when we go to the book of Acts, you'll see that the book of Acts speaks to us, to the disciples being witnesses, and also we ourselves being witnesses of the risen Christ today. The world will only know the resurrected Lord through your witness. Now that is very important. And he tells them, behold, I send you the promise of my Father. Now let's quickly look at John chapter 20, because we will also see about Thomas. Why? Because Thomas comes in and he had missed to see Jesus, but Jesus is patient enough to make sure that he is able to see him. Now, when we read John chapter 20 from verse 19, the Bible says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Now, you can see John goes beyond just the hands and the feet, shows them also his side. Where was happened to his side? This is where he was pierced on his side, and blood and water had come out that was separated, that showed that he had truly died, because the blood and the water had taken time to separate. And that is also the birth of the church. Remember, we are his bride. Think of how Adam was put to sleep by God and his rib was taken out. Likewise, Christ also, when he died, also from his side, from his rib, from under his rib, he was pierced, and also his bride. We, the church, were birthed through that. Now, and he says that, and peace to you. And so, verse 21, so Jesus said to them again, peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, I know there are those who believe that the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, but the book of John tells us that Jesus breathed on his disciples the Holy Spirit. Now, why is it important? Because remember, this is now about regeneration. This is about now God creating the new man. Remember, in the beginning, when he made Adam, he formed him in the flesh. He formed him from the dust and he breathed on him, and man became a living soul. But now God here, who is Christ himself, breathes on his disciples and he breathes the Holy Spirit on them and he makes them born again. Why? He releases the Spirit in them, and in that process they are regenerated, they are made alive in the Spirit, and they are no longer just living souls, but they become life giving spirits. They become life-giving spirits. Remember, the first Adam was made a living soul, but the last Adam, who is Christ, was made a life-giving spirit. And you can see that in 1 Corinthians 15. Now, he tells them, receive the Holy Spirit. And verse 23, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Now, verse 24, which is about Thomas, says, "Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, 'We have seen the Lord.' So he said to them, 'Unless I see his hands in the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.' And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the door being shut, and stood in the midst and said, 'Peace to you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Reach your finger here, and look at my hands, and reach your hand here, and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believe.' And Thomas answered and said to him, 'My Lord and my God.' Jesus said to him, 'Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.'" Now you can see how it was not so easy for the disciples who walked with Jesus, who knew Jesus, who saw him crucified, to believe. In fact, he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart. But you see, Jesus has to take them through stages. He has to give them the physical evidence. "Handle me, see me, touch me." He has to ask them for food. He eats with them. Then beyond that, he has to open their understanding. Oh, let them understand the laws, law of Moses, the prophets, the Psalms. Then show them that the Christ had to suffer to enter into his glory. Then beyond that, he has to give them the Holy Spirit. He has to breathe on them the Holy Spirit. Then they believe. But he says, "Blessed are you, blessed are you." And that refers to you and me today, who did not live in the time of the Christ when he walked on this earth, but have believed. We have seen him. And he said, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." That is why to believe in Christ, it is a revelation. The Father reveals himself to you that you know without a shadow of doubt that you are not worshiping a dead God, you're not worshiping a dead Jesus, but you're worshiping a risen Savior, and he is Christ the Lord, seated at the right hand of the Father, far above all powers, all thrones, all principalities, and he reigns and is the coming King. And he will come back on this earth to reign forever and ever. Amen. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. I pray that the word has taken root in our hearts and that you shall meditate on these things and love the Lord and love him because he loved us first. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, that your word is life, that your word is truth, that your word is faithful, that you've shown us that indeed it is blessed to believe even yet we have not seen. And we have seen that indeed the disciples struggled with unbelief, but you are patient with them. And I know even today you are still patient with those that have still not yet believed, to bring them to the knowledge of truth, and even for those that are on the journey of belief, that step by step you give them insight, you give them understanding, you give them grace, O God, to walk in truth and to be guided and led by you. We look unto you, you're a faithful Father, you're a faithful Lord, and there's no one else like you, God. May your hand, power, and presence walk with us, direct us, and keep us. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name, we pray and believe. Amen. Shalom, and have a blessed, blessed day ahead.